Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And thank you all for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the changes taking place in the infrastructure of the Kriya Yoga Asana program as a result of a deeper understanding of spiritual law. Listen as we explain the revised application of how we think is what we become. Learn how to forsake human thinking for divine knowing. In this show, we will explain the pragmatic benefits of practicing spiritual science. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and externalize the perfection of being. Swami, the title of our program today is Kriya Yoga Asana Program Revision 1. Well, let's first talk about Kriya Yoga Asana, what it is, and what are the expectations of an Asana program?
Yeah, asana is the third stage of yoga. That when yoga was codified, it was done so in 8 essential stages. Asana means posture, and the physical postures that most of us identify with the practice of yoga is really one of a number of lifestyle strategies that one needs to enlist in order to really call what you do yoga. But in its origins, yoga is a spiritual science. And this particular show here was really inspired by a recent movie on BKS Iyengar that we watched. And I was really quite surprised at the approach of yoga that really appears to be more material than spiritual. It seems to have taken on the direction of the medical profession as opposed to representing it as a spiritual science. And so working with the physical body, though it is an important part, is a very small aspect of the true science of yoga. And one of the things that we noticed is that you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And we can't be under the divine law of life with a belief in matter.
So what is the role of asana in relation to the 8 stages of yoga? How does that get us to samadhi?
Yeah, the physical body is really a barometer. The body is the appearance of what it is that we are holding in consciousness. How we think is what we become. And so the body is really the externalization of the thought that we are holding in mind. And one of the things that we have been working with is understanding this concept of forsaking human thinking for divine knowing. That's something that I find to be a relatively new concept that we are trying to introduce, and that's what we're trying to do with the show today, is start to introduce the idea of really how we think is what we become, but there are different modes of thinking. The 3 modes of mortal thought that comes from Christian Science by Mary Baker Eddy are really what we must overcome. And we must replace it with this concept of divine knowing. To know the truth is really what sets us free. And that's where we use the body in relation to the concept of samadhi is that because the body is the tangible part of the equation, it becomes the barometer. But body can never be cause. Spirit must always be cause in order for us to really reverse the process that takes place when we think body is cause.
So is that the old way of thinking? Like, because we're talking about that Kriya Yoga Asana, this is revision one. So are we saying that that is the old way of thinking about the body?
Well, actually, we always thought of the body as the means, not the goal. But in the framework of the Kriya Yoga Asana class that we teach, there's a lot of internal mental work that we include in the practice. Even though you are doing a physical exercise, and the exercise itself has procedure and intention. Because that was the thing that I really embraced about Iyengar's approach to asana, was the concept of alignment. That he was the one teacher that really built postures with procedure. And the intention was to lengthen and strengthen muscles, increase the range of motion at the articulations, and move the bones into a position of internal support. For me, that concept, that aspect of fitness was something that was missing in my fitness continuum. Because when I first started to get involved in yoga, I was much more athletic. So strength and endurance were things that were in the foreground of what I called fitness. The idea of flexibility became more apparent as I started to get a little bit older. The idea of alignment started to come to me as I started to see what Iyengar was doing. But also I noticed they did a lot of assisted stretching. They did a lot of things that didn't work for me. And the reason was is because I knew so many dancers and martial artists when I was growing up who did a lot of that assisted stretching. And I'd be walking with somebody down the street and all of a sudden like their hip would go out. And it started to dawn on me that all of that assisted stretching gave them a flexibility benefit, but they weren't getting the strength benefit that can come with when you are basically working with your physical body and you're working the relationship between your muscles and your bones. Because anytime you've got extension on one end, you've got flexion on the other. And anytime you've got flexion, you've got extension. So to work that relationship, so that you weren't becoming more flexible than you were strong, was something that I included in our Kriya Yoga Asana program.
So we're probably all thinking that we were taught, we were in a posture and something comes up on screen for us in our mind, a certain thought or maybe even a pain or a discomfort. We were to some extent, pay attention to that as the postures tell us something, our body tells us something to do. So can you explain how that works for us?
Yeah, that again comes back to how we think is what we become. And so you put yourself in a particular position, and then, of course, it will bring up a thought pattern for you. Now, what we were doing prior to this new revision that we're talking about is that you would immediately recognize the debilitating thought, the fear, the anger, the negativity that you in your human mind was producing, and as a result, it was creating or seeming to create a condition in your physical body. And so prior to this, you would turn your mind to spirit. You would turn your mind to endless possibilities. And then you would change the thought. And again, It sounds very similar to what it is that I'm going to suggest that you do, but it's also very different. When we are a human thinking about changing the thought about our physical body, using positive thinking to affect the change will not go deep enough because it doesn't have the power. And any change that you will experience will be totally dependent upon belief. And now what I have discovered and learned is that divine law, divine mind, is really the only power in this universe. And so rather than turning your mind to face spirit or the concept of spirit, you make your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of spirit, for the presence of divine mind. Now, the specific distinction that happens when divine mind is in consciousness, it doesn't report in the five senses. And this, of course, ties in the whole thing of the fifth stage of yoga, pratyahara, sense withdrawal. To move beyond sense-level logic, the testimony of the five senses into soul sense or spiritual understanding is a change in your level of consciousness. You make your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind. Now, divine mind is the one mind of this universe, and it has the power. It is the one principle in this universe. It is the one power. And so by making your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of the perfection of being is optimal. Because humanly, we cannot conceive of the perfection of being. And so if we move beyond human thought, sense-level logic, into spiritual understanding, you will start to improve without doing all of that internal mental work that we were suggesting before.
So people listening to the show might be thinking to themselves, okay, what you said sounds great, but how do I make my mind an avenue of awareness?
Right, by holding your attention on the presence of what is invisible and intangible. And a big part of this is you must know the truth of being. You must know that this is a spiritual universe. Most of us are under the misconception that we think matter is real. And so that might be the biggest adjustment that you're going to have to make.
Yes, you're right. I think it sounds like it would be a big adjustment for most of us, because some of us may think that we have our mind as an avenue of awareness, but we really don't. So how would we know the difference?
Right. And this is where the education comes in, because we have to move through the three modes of mortal thought. And we've talked about this in the last series that we did on using the zodiac as a template for understanding spiritual truth. The four modes of thinking that we worked with, we found in the mutable signs, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and they represent the three modes of mortal thought. Pisces represents divine mind. And so mortal thought works with duality, and it operates on a belief in two powers. And so it really gets all of its existence from belief. Spirit, divine mind, works on unity. It works on the absolute. It is fulfillment. And so spirit, as we had said, is the one power. It's the only power in this universe. And what's very important to understand is that that power is absolute perfection. It is the law of harmony, absolute love, eternal life.
Well, this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, you've been talking about asana and how we can use that to try to elevate our levels of consciousness. So I'm just wondering if we can recap again. When we're in a posture, let's say, for example, downward facing dog, and what is it exactly that I should be looking for when I'm in that posture? Am I looking for complete stillness? Am I looking for signals? Am I looking for thoughts? Do I want to be that active with my mind, or am I just trying to still my mind and still my body?
Yeah. When you're working with the posture, the first thing that I really look at is I always look at things from a physical, a mental, and then a spiritual level. And the physical body is only an image in consciousness. And when it shows fault, it is being externalized by mortal mind or human thinking, individualized by the world mind. And so if you find pain, discomfort, instability, if you find that you're unable to really perform the posture with the internal integrity of the relationship between your muscles and your bones, these are all indicators that I have a belief in something other than the perfection of being. And so the real adjustment that you want to make is, rather than trying to fix yourself physically, you really want to start to hold your attention and reflect on the presence of divine mind. Because when you're individualized by the divine mind, we will start to reveal the perfection of being.
So if I'm in a posture, and maybe I'm not stable, I'm not in pain, but I'm not stable, then that means my alignment is off. So I do want to make adjustments to get myself into alignment.
Right. Physically, you look at yourself, you make the corrections, you look at your foot placement, you look at your hand placement, you look at the relationship between your feet and your hands, you look at the direction that your pelvis is tilted in. You try and lengthen, you try and create straight lines from your ankles to your pelvis, from the wrists of your hands to your pelvis. And if everything is rounded up, the thing that you don't want to start to do is force anything. You really want to try and see where you're comfortable. You want to try and make whatever corrections you can. And then from a very relaxed, like you said, still position, know the presence of the perfection of being. Know that you are the reflection of an inexhaustible source, that you are the reflection and the expression of an indestructible principle. And by holding your attention on the presence of spirit, and allowing that to take over the scientific government of your being is optimal. And so by you relaxing into it, having that awareness of the truth of your being, and just let it make whatever internal corrections you want. If you find that you're trying to force it, that you're trying to do this humanly, that's where you want to back off.
Okay, so if I'm in a posture and I'm comfortable to a certain point, but then I start feeling a pain or a discomfort, I know in your classes you always teach us to, if you're in pain or discomfort or unstable, then, you know, back off a little bit. You want to keep your body comfortable because we don't operate from a position of no pain, no gain type of a theory.
Yeah, right. And respecting your physical body is a really good place to start, because when your body is comfortable, it's impressionable. If there's any kind of tension between mind and body, then of course your mind will abandon the body and you will lose the connection internally. And ideally, the connection exists between divine mind and the real person. And so, what is the real person? The real person is knowing yourself spiritually, not as a mortal physical body, but as an eternal spiritual being. That identity is what invites the presence of spirit into your practice.
So I've noticed myself in the last couple of classes when I've been into certain postures that, you know, I will feel a pain or a discomfort. So now what I try to do is recognize that that pain or discomfort pulls up on screen that maybe I don't have this connection to spirit.
Right. And that's a term that I used to use quite often, was this whole thing of senseless optimism. Now, often is something to be avoided. That I used to say, you don't want to be senselessly optimistic. And now I've changed what it is that I really mean by that, because in truth, we want to be senselessly optimistic. We want to move into sense withdrawal. In some respects, you want to deny or reject anything that displays characteristics that are not divine-like in your physical body. And the reason we deny that is because it isn't real. It isn't backed by truth. It is not caused by spirit. And spirit is the only cause or power in this universe. So whatever does not reflect divine perfection isn't real, which means that by changing how we think about it, we can actually eliminate it. By us giving up the belief in it, then we can release whatever existence it seems to have. And by holding true to the presence of this one divine mind, we can begin to activate it in our experience.
So it sounds like these postures are another gateway for us to have this realization of truth with a capital T.
Right, because you really want to hold true to the goals and objectives of the spiritual science of yoga, which is total consciousness. And total consciousness is something that can never be achieved in a mortal physical body. And it can't be achieved in a five-sense mind. So we have to transcend these limits. And if identity is all bound up in a physical body, the suggestion that I have is only use your senses to help you know what we are paying allegiance to. And sowing to the flesh, believing the senses, is very different than sowing to the spirit and trusting the perfection of being. And the key question here is that if we are all the expression of an indestructible principle, what is it that is appearing that does not have these qualities? And so the more that we start to abide in the truth of our being, and we start to see that we are an expression of this one divine life, this eternal life, as opposed to that I am a physical body that has a mind and perchance a soul, that starts to change the external experience that we actually have. It will change your physical body. It will enable the truth of your being, the perfection of your being, to start to reveal itself in your physical appearance.
It actually sounds almost a lot easier to have an approach like that if there's pain or discomfort in our bodies, as opposed to, I can remember taking classes and reading books on healing and things like this, and saying if you have a pain in your right side, the right means this and the left side means that and the hip stands for this. And that just seems like a lot to have to sift through and decipher. Well, that's why I have this pain. And what you're saying is basically, if I have pain and discomfort, it's because I'm not thinking right. It's because I have put something else in the place of God.
Right. And it is crucial to know that it is not possible to be in the truth of being and experience any discord, sickness, suffering, lack, imperfection, or pain. Truth dispels error. When we are seeking perfection, satisfaction, or success, we are really in error. And so the correction that we want to make is just like what you said. We want to change how we're thinking. And when we do this, we want to do it not changing going from the lower mind to the mid mind to the higher mind, and still working through the law of karma with a belief in two powers. We want to make the quantum leap and believe in the one mind, the one life, the one power in this universe, because that is the truth of being.
So recapping Kriya Yoga Asana Program Revision 1, we still want to be mindful, and then if we find a pain and discomfort, we want to attach that to our realization that we're not tuned into God. Am I understanding that to be the right summary of our program today?
Right. Once we start to get to that understanding of ourselves, any appearance, any symptom, any condition that does not reflect the perfection of being is a belief in something other than the one divine life. And so just like you were saying, most of us try and do this by making matter and mind cause and effect. But in truth, spirit is the only true cause. So we bypass all of that seeking, striving, struggling, trying, human ambitions and human interests, and we move right into the divine will, the will of the one power of this universe, which actually will start to outpicture itself as dominion, because you will be in harmony with the one divine life of this universe. And it is absolute good. It is absolute perfection.
Well, with that, I think we'll close our program for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. And again, there's a lot of tools on that website that you can click on to further your spiritual developments. Don't forget, Swami has also a free webinar you can access through online classes tab. That's Wednesdays at noon. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to distinguish between denial of physical evidence and the acknowledgement of the perfection of being, that we must know the truth. All life is the expression of an indestructible principle, and to acknowledge that activates it in your experience. With that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.